Chapter 2. One Day Changes Everything. Fëanor had ended up hiding in the ship while Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Skywalker waited for the rest of their party, borrowing Qui-Gon's travel pack and picking through his former master's belongings for the spare tunic and leggings. It was hardly his preferred color. Qui-Gon had always preferred the classic dull beige, while Fëanor preferred a more orange shade of brown. And the arms of the tunics and the legs of the leggings were a little long, but at least it wasn't patient robes, so he'd make do. And maybe shred the patient robes to make himself a belt for his saber. He was just finishing shoving his feet back into his boots when Obi-Wan stormed into the room looking a little like he wanted to murder something. "Obi-Wan?" he asked quietly. Obi-Wan flinched, head snapping up to look at him, and then he deflated. "How much do you know about Ani, the boy?" he asked in an uncertain voice. "Skywalker?" Fëanor asked. And Obi-Wan nodded, dropping tiredly onto one of the two sleep couches. "I know," he hesitated, debating how much to tell his brother Padawan about what had happened in the future. He cleared his throat, twisting his fingers together behind his back. "I know that when our master died, you took him on as your Padawan." Obi-Wan jerked his head, coming up to reveal eyes wide with disbelieving shock. "Me? Take a Padawan? Oh no, that is, I mean, don't take me wrong, I love the creche, and the youngling's just fine, but I'm, well..." He held his arms out to either side. "Look at me, I'm still a Padawan. And Master Qui-Gon might have said I'm ready for my trials, but I know that's only because he wants to take Ani as his Padawan." "I'm sorry," Fëanor interrupted as warning bells went off in his head. "Why do you think Qui-Gon would send you to your trials just to train Skywalker?"
Because that's what he said to the Council."
The rage that washed through him wasn't really a surprise, even if it should have been. He'd spent almost 20 years trying to talk his friends down from outright attacking Qui-Gon in some misguided defense of Fëanor's trampled honor. Between Qui-Gon's death and the presumed proof that he'd managed to raise at least one Padawan without destroying something inside him, because Obi-Wan Kenobi had always seemed the best of them, though Fëanor had allowed himself some private glee at the thought of Qui-Gon's face if he'd been alive to see one of his Padawans join that council. He'd finally started to let the old pain, the whisper of anger at being repudiated because of Xanatos, go. Except apparently, Obi-Wan hadn't managed to survive their master without some scars. And while Fëanor would never have called Qui-Gon out in his own defense, there was no way he was going to let his little brother go on thinking he was some sort of stepping stone on Qui-Gon's path through life. The door to the cabin opened again, admitting the very focus of his anger, who was saying,
"I told Her Majesty that we had one more," and
Fëanor stepped up to Qui-Gon and punched him in the middle of his crooked nose, causing him to stumble back out into the hall, almost tripping over Skywalker before the door closed between them.
"Master," Obi-Wan called, rising from the sleep couch in a rush. "Why did you do that?" he demanded.
"Because he carking well deserved it,"
Fëanor replied, and was a little disturbed at how much of a snarl was in his voice. The door opened again, and Qui-Gon and Skywalker stepped through, Qui-Gon holding a hand over his nose.
"Fëanor," he said, disapproving, and only slightly nasally, so it was unlikely Fëanor had managed to re-break his nose.
"Qui-Gon," Fëanor returned icily, "do you actually care that you've done the same thing to Obi-Wan as you did to me?"
Qui-Gon blinked and shook his head.
"I have no idea what you're talking about," he said after a long, tense moment of silence, gingerly lowering his hand from his nose as he spoke.
There was blood staining his mustache and beard, but little enough that Fëanor suspected he'd applied force healing nearly automatically.
"So you didn't repudiate him in front of the council?" Fëanor demanded.
Qui-Gon jerked back, his eyes jerking over to where Obi-Wan was standing just behind and 2 steps to the right of Fëanor.
"Obi-Wan, that's not..." "You have a problem, Master," Fëanor interrupted,
and Qui-Gon unexpectedly looked down at the floor, like he was actually ashamed of himself,
When we get back to Coruscant, you need to go to the council and take back everything you said to them. I will help you argue for Anakin's placement in the creche. But I have seen what an excellent knight he can become, and I will not support your claim on him, not after this. Stay in the temple and teach a few classes if you feel the need to be a teacher. But I think you have had enough, Padawans. Do you now? Qui-Gon growled, no longer looking even the slightest bit ashamed. You've repudiated me. Xanatos fell. And you just repudiated Obi-Wan. Fumor shot back, refusing to back down. You're 3 for 3, and now you want to criff up with a fourth? Even Master Yon knew when to quit.
Qui-Gon straightened, using the 5 centimeters height difference to loom down on Fumor.
If not for Yoda's meddling, I would have stopped after Zan, he bit out.
Obi-Wan let out a nearly silent, wounded sound, and Fumor had to grip his hands behind his back to keep from punching his master again.
Right, Fumor bit out. Blame the troll. That always helps matters.
Qui-Gon narrowed his eyes. Fingers plucked at the sleeve of Fumor's borrowed tunic, and shame washed through him. Obi-Wan should not have had to listen to Fumor dredging up all of the old wounds their master had inflicted. And neither honestly should Skywalker, who was standing just inside the, thankfully closed, door, back to the wall and his eyes wide and a little terrified. Gritting his teeth and leashing his anger, Fumor asked, Queen Amidala wanted to meet me, in his most diplomatic voice. Qui-Gon's jaw clenched and he gave a jerky nod before saying in an equally diplomatic voice,
Yes, she'd like to be introduced to all of her protectors.
Of course, Fumor agreed, turning to Obi-Wan.
Might you be willing to show me the way while Master Jin washes his face?
Yes, of course. Obi-Wan got out in a rush, relief chasing across his face. Ani, do you want to stay here, or...
I want to see Padme, Skywalker said quietly, sounding so very much like a terrified youngling.
Fumor was really wishing he'd picked a better time to have it out with Qui-Gon.
I'm sure the Queen will know where she is, Obi-Wan promised, holding down a hand for the boy, which Skywalker hesitated for a moment before taking.
Fumor and Qui-Gon traded places without touching or looking at each other, and Fumor followed Obi-Wan and Skywalker out of the room, leaving the Elder Master to clean the blood off his face in peace.
I'm sorry, Fumor offered once the door had closed behind them. That should have been done in private.
Neither Obi-Wan nor Skywalker responded for a half dozen steps, and then Obi-Wan said,
I had wondered why he'd never mentioned you.
Xanatos would have been delighted to know he'd overshadowed me to such a degree that you didn't even know I existed, Fumor said, and he couldn't help how bitter the words were on his tongue.
Shadows and hatred were all Xanatos was good for.
Obi-Wan offered, glancing over at Fumor with a slightly hopeful air.
Oh, I don't know. He was pretty good at unnecessary amounts of drama, too.
The corners of Obi-Wan's mouth turned up with the beginnings of a smile. I always thought the drama was lent from Qui-Gon. Fumor coughed against a laugh.
If so, it really originated with Master Yon.
Master Yon? Obi-Wan repeated.
Fumor blinked, then frowned and thought, had Obi-Wan never met their grandmaster?
Yon Dooku, our grandmaster.
He cast a glance at Obi-Wan, taking in the furrow between his brows.
He's never gone on well with the council, less so even than Qui-Gon. He doesn't spend much time in the temple.
I didn't realize you could get on with the council less than Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan muttered.
Fumor grimaced, aware of exactly how far against the council their grandmaster was destined to go. Thankfully, before they could get any further into that minefield, they reached what appeared to be the Queen's ship-based throne room.
Padawan Kenobi, the Queen greeted as they stopped in the middle of the room, Obi-Wan and Skywalker in the lead, and Anakin.
Is Padme here? Skywalker asked quietly.
The Queen looked over to where one of the women dressed in orange was standing, and she stepped forward.
I am, Annie.
Skywalker dropped Obi-Wan's hand and rushed over to her, hiding in her skirts.
What's happened? The young woman demanded,
looking between Obi-Wan and Fumor with the sort of authority that Fumor wouldn't have expected from a handmaiden.
My fault, I'm afraid, Fumor offered. stepping up to stand beside his brother Padawan and offering a bow to the queen. Well, the woman sitting on the throne, at least. Naboo certainly wouldn't be the first world he'd traded with that used a decoy system to protect their rulers. I am Jedi Master and Ambassador Fimor. Next to him, Obi-Wan twitched at the word master. Turning to Padme and Skywalker, he explained, Master Jin and I have history. Some things needed to be said between us, and I'm afraid they were said without thought for bystanders. Padme frowned but nodded, her fingers carding through Skywalker's mop of blonde hair.
I always thought the Jedi were supposed to be calm and collected, especially Jedi Masters, she said just a little too pointed.
Fimor shrugged, keeping on his polite diplomatic smile. We are all yet beholden to the species we were born to, miss, he offered. Just as you have emotions that can get the best of you, so do we Jedi. We're simply better at hiding them.
Padme hummed in acknowledgement, turning to focus her attention on Skywalker.
Fimor sensed Qui-Gon approaching and stepped off to the side, leaving space in the center of the floor for the Elder Master, which he stepped into as soon as he arrived, bowing to the Queen. With everyone gathered in one space, they set about hashing out their plans upon their arrival. Fimor was relieved that he wasn't the only one who felt skeptical about the Queen's plan to involve the Gungans. Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and the captain of the Queen's Guard, Quersh Panaka, all felt very uncertain as she laid out her plan, while their Gungan contact, Jar Jar Binks, was practically bleeding low-level panic and anxiety into the Force. But none of them bothered trying more than a token effort to talk her out of it. In truth, it was very likely the only possible plan, given their numbers and the numbers that could be assumed the Trade Federation had. By the time they broke for the night, nearly everyone was yawning, including Fimor. Clearly he hadn't slept enough to fix whatever the Force had done to him. And Skywalker had fallen asleep and been taken from the room by one of the other handmaidens, which just made Fimor that much more suspicious of Padme's identity. There wasn't much space on the ship, which Fimor had to admit hadn't figured into his choice to tag along. Ani's sleeping on the bench in the galley, Obi-Wan told Fimor and Qui-Gon, after he'd checked in with the handmaiden who had taken the boy from Padme earlier. He cast a quick, uncertain look between them. I'll go stay with him.
Yes, Qui-Gon said in that mild tone he always used to hide something. That may be for the best.
Fimor didn't sigh, but it was a near thing. It was strange how easy it was to fall back into the old patterns he and Qui-Gon had developed over the course of his apprenticeship. Easily staying out of each other's way as they traded using the fresher and changed into clothing for sleeping. Fimor used the patient robes, a little glad he hadn't yet had time to turn them into a belt. It wasn't until they had both settled down on their sleeping sofas and the lights in the cabin had been turned out that Qui-Gon said,
I'm sorry. For me or for Obi-Wan? Fimor asked, and he hated how bitterly the words came out.
Qui-Gon was silent for a beat. Then he said,
Both.
Fimor sighed.
Just make things right with Obi-Wan before we get to Naboo.
Qui-Gon was quiet for long enough. Fimor honestly thought that that was the end of the conversation. But just as he was starting to drift off, his former master said,
You've never been prone to visions.
No, Fimor agreed tiredly. Leave it to Qui-Gon Jinn to start questioning him about this now. Qui-Gon shifted on the other sofa.
My death, Annie becoming an excellent knight, anything else you saw?
Obi-Wan joined the council, Fimor offered.
He what?
Qui-Gon demanded, sounding horrified. Fimor laughed. Yes, he'd known Qui-Gon would have been aghast at that. The lights of the cabin flared back on, and Fimor squinted over to see his former master sitting up and glowering at him.
Not funny, Fimor.
Fimor coughed against another laugh.
He really did. He took Master Balaba's spot.
Qui-Gon frowned.
What happened to Deppa?
And then before Fimor could answer, he shook his head and said,
No, I'm sure you've no idea.
I do, mostly, Fimor offered. Not quite certain why he wasn't accepting the easy way out.
maybe because a part of him missed having Qui-Gon to lean on, had for a very long time. A mission on Harun Kal went poorly. She was in a coma for almost 2 years. Qui-Gon was very, very still, watching Fëanor with his sharp, too clever eyes. Uncomfortable with the scrutiny, Fëanor sat up himself, slipping his hands under the blanket so he could fidget with them without Qui-Gon seeing, the same way he'd always done as a Padawan. Qui-Gon's eyes flickered down to his lap, but he didn't comment on the old bad habit, just said, "This doesn't sound like a vision, Fëanor," in a quiet, careful voice. "No," Fëanor agreed just as quietly. "It, Master, it didn't feel like a vision either. It felt like... He let out an irritated breath and loosed his hands from each other so he could reach up and rake one through his hair, fingers catching on knots between the strands. "It feels like a second chance to fix everything that went wrong. The Sith came back and there was a war and just..." He gave a sharp shake of his head. "You, Wang Wei, Rune, Ramada, Vega, Ace, even Master Yhan, Kay and Yoda were all I had left, Master." It wasn't until Qui-Gon was settling on the sofa beside him and curling a hand around his shoulder that Fëanor realized there were tears on his face. And he twisted and pressed his face against his master's shoulder, sobbing out 13 years worth of loss and trusting that, for once, there was someone there who would keep him safe. "I'm sorry, Padawan," Qui-Gon whispered as Fëanor started to calm down. Fëanor let himself take another moment of the comfort he'd lost a long time ago, then pulled away. "What's done is done," he said quietly, brushing a hand over the stain of tears on his face. He snorted, couldn't bring himself to look at Qui-Gon as he added, "And it seems the Force saw fit to give me a second chance, for some reason." Qui-Gon reached out and squeezed his shoulder, the grip warm and familiar. "I'm glad," he said. "I have missed you." Fëanor scoffed and cast a tiredly unimpressed look at the older man. "Whose fault was that, I wonder?" Qui-Gon winced and inclined his head. "That's yes." He took a deep breath and caught Fëanor's gaze. "What I did, Fëanor, I'd never meant to hurt you. I was just..." "You forget, Qui-Gon," Fëanor interrupted flatly, because he wasn't certain he could listen to the excuses he was certain were coming. "You know how you get when Master Yhan starts picking at you for some stupid reason or another. I know you were just reacting badly to Xanatos throwing you and the whole order under the speeder. If it had been personal, I'd have let Kay have at you." Qui-Gon snorted. "I'm not afraid of Kimura," he insisted. Fëanor nodded and politely didn't call him on that Bantha Poodoo. Although, to be fair, he may not be aware of exactly how difficult his life would have got, having a member of the Temple Guard out for his blood. He wasn't even completely certain Qui-Gon knew Kay was a member of the Guard. He hadn't taken the position until after Xanatos left, and Fëanor would never buy his insistence that he hadn't done it for a chance to anonymously give Qui-Gon hell. Qui-Gon's brow furrowed, his thoughts clearly tracking away from the matter of Kay's attempts at vengeance.
"You said Yoda and Kimura were the only ones who survived?"
Fëanor threaded his fingers together in an attempt to keep from fidgeting.
"In my circle that I knew about, yes," he admitted quietly.
Qui-Gon's eyes closed, grief passing over his face.
"Then Obi-Wan."
Oh, Fëanor felt a bit like an idiot.
"He was still alive when I died. Was shot by someone he trusted."
Qui-Gon looked at him, brow lined with confusion.
"But then, I never got to know him. Master Yoda, he helped me keep tabs on him, kept me updated, but I didn't. I never knew how to approach him. You died and he took on Sky Anakin as his Padawan?"
"Oh," Qui-Gon whispered, looking a bit surprised.
"And Anakin, he was struggling, too far behind, no way to relate to other Padawans, and no common ground with any of the initiates. Obi-Wan had his hands full, and I didn't want to add to that, make everything worse. And then Wang Wei was knighted and died on her first mission, and I
know,
Qui-Gon said quietly, squeezing his shoulder again. And Fimor suspected he did, because Xanatos may have left the Order of his own volition, but he'd still been gone. And Qui-Gon had responded by pulling away from everyone and everything to mourn. And then he offered Fimor an uncertain smile.
Wang Wei, she's your current Padawan?
Fimor nodded.
She's well. I left her back at the temple. Taking a 14-year-old to fight a Sith Lord seems like a bad idea. Ah, Qui-Gon looked away towards the door of his cabin. I expect you would have preferred Annie remain at the temple.
Absolutely, Fimor returned flatly, and Qui-Gon winced. He sighed and reached up to squeeze his former master's arm.
But I understand. The temple isn't willing to accept him, not quite. It would be cruel to leave him somewhere he feels unwanted. And he huffed. From what I heard, he was, will be, essential to Naboo's freedom. Well, that's, Qui-Gon grimaced, disconcerting. Rather.
Eerily in sync, they raised their eyebrows at each other. Fimor broke first, looking away with a quiet huff of laughter. Qui-Gon's hand left his shoulder to muss his hair as he stood from the sofa.
Get some sleep, Fimor. We'll see if Her Majesty will let you and Obi-Wan use the throne room to practice tomorrow. I expect it's a bad idea to face a Sith with people you've never fought beside.
Ah, Fimor nodded.
Yes, also I've... Well, the me that's more immediate in my memories. I've been using Suresu. Suresu? Qui-Gon repeated as the lights went out, sounding wounded. What happened to Ataru? Ataru was well and good against one or two opponents, Master. But I've spent the last 3 years of my life trying to protect as many people as I could from a hail of blaster bolts.
Qui-Gon was silent and still for a long, long moment. Then he said,
I don't think I like this future you experienced. Nor did I.
Qui-Gon settled himself on his couch, Fimor following suit.
Good night, Fimor,
Qui-Gon offered into the darkness of the cabin.
I'm glad you're here.
Fimor swallowed against a lump in his throat and whispered back,
Good night, Master.
Whether it was a reward for catching Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan up and inserting himself into their mission, or if he'd just purged the most immediate of his fears and grief during his cry, Fimor couldn't say. But he had one of the most restful sleeps of the past. Actually, he couldn't remember the last time he'd managed to sleep the night through and woken feeling rested. Are you two okay now? Obi-Wan asked when Fimor joined him and Skywalker in the galley. Given Qui-Gon had decided to go and ask the Queen about using the throne room before breakfast, so it was just him, it was a bit of a valid question. Fimor nodded as he looked through the shipboard ration packs, grimacing a bit at the options. Just because he was used to rations after 3 years at war didn't mean he liked them.
As much as we'll probably ever be, he admitted.
Because he knew himself far too well to believe he wouldn't pull the whole mess out and use it to hurt Qui-Gon if they got into another fight about something, and he felt like he was losing. He wasn't always the best Jedi, but he had learned that it was better to acknowledge his failings, at least privately, than to ignore them and end up endangering someone else with his ignorance. It was something Yoda had tried to get him to see after Wang Wei's death, when he spent almost an entire year avoiding the temple. But it had been Dock and Pomp, trying so very hard to get him to stop pretending his insomnia wasn't a problem, who had finally taught him the lesson.
Qui-Gon went to ask Her Majesty if we can use the throne room to practice fighting together, he added as he joined Obi-Wan and Skywalker at the table.
That is a good idea, Obi-Wan admitted with a wry smile.
You're gonna practice with your laser swords?
Skywalker asked, perking up.
Lightsabers, Fimor corrected gently, and Skywalker wrinkled his nose. And yes, we are. Obi-Wan and I have never fought together, and Qui-Gon and I. Well, it's been a while.
Skywalker looked down into his lap, looking uncertain.
You and Mr. Qui-Gon, you don't like each other?
What? Fimor blinked a couple times, thrown by the question. What had even given Skywalker that idea? He'd gotten into a fight with Qui-Gon, sure, but
That didn't mean they didn't like each other.
No, it's, Obi-Wan tugged on his braid twice, looking thoughtful. You have friends back on Tatooine, right?
Skywalker glanced over at Obi-Wan with a small frown, nodding.
Kister and Bana, yeah.
Did you ever get into a fight with either of them?
Skywalker nodded again, glancing at Fimor.
Then you and Mr. Qui-Gon, you're just having a fight?
It's a bit more complicated than that, Qui-Gon said, announcing his entrance to the room. Think of it more like I did something that hurt Fimor a long time ago, and I never apologized like I should have. He dropped a gentle hand to Fimor's shoulder and squeezed. Fimor offered him a wry smile.
Oh, Skywalker said, sounding dejected.
Unfortunately, Annie, even Jedi Masters make mistakes, Qui-Gon told the boy. With that helplessly apologetic smile he tended to pull out when he wasn't certain how to fix something.
He squeezed Fimor's shoulder again, then pulled away, heading for the cupboard of rations.
Her Majesty has agreed to let us use the throne room for the morning, but has warned that some of the others on board may wish to observe. I told her that should be all right.
Really? Skywalker asked, perking right back up. We can watch?
So long as you stay in one spot close to the walls, it shouldn't be a problem, Fimor agreed with a shrug.
While Obi-Wan nodded, he glanced at his brother Padawan and asked, Ataru? Obi-Wan offered a crooked smile in response.
What a surprisingly good guess, he said in a dry voice, and Fimor chuckled. Ataru as well?
Fimor raised his hands to make a so-so gesture.
I've actually been using more Suresu of late, but yes, Ataru, and some Makashi.
Qui-Gon scoffed. Makashi, he muttered, as disgusted as ever at the form Yon swore by. Obi-Wan hid a polite cough into one hand. He might not have ever met their grandmaster, but he'd clearly been subjected to their master's view on his favorite form. While Fimor rolled his eyes and said,
Given that we're expected to face another lightsaber wielder, Makashi might be the best choice.
Qui-Gon turned an honest-to-force, horrified look on him. Obi-Wan choked out a laugh and ducked his head towards the table. Fimor turned a serene smile on his former master.
I didn't say you had to use it yourself, master, though I expect you're the best of the three of us with it.
Qui-Gon looked like he wanted to refuse, but then he grimaced.
Using Makashi is something I wouldn't have done without you here, he said.
Fimor stiffened, while Obi-Wan went very, very still next to him.
Qui-Gon sighed. I'm rather out of practice, I'm afraid.
Fimor looked down to watch his fingers smoothing over the edges of the empty ration package, wondering exactly how long he'd been fidgeting with it.
It sounds like we all need some time practicing then, he offered in a perfectly neutral voice. So it seems, Qui-Gon agreed in the same.
Obi-Wan let out an explosive gust of air and slumped in his seat, leaning a little bit closer to Fimor. Fimor, whose first Padawan, Ace, had used the same move to request a hug when they weren't certain it would be allowed or welcome, shifted closer and wrapped his arm around Obi-Wan's shoulders. Obi-Wan tensed for a second like he hadn't expected the contact, then relaxed against Fimor with a nearly silent, Thanks. Fimor tightened his arm around Obi-Wan's shoulders in silent acknowledgement, even as he picked up his wrapper with his free hand, crumpled it into a ball, and tossed it in the direction of the recycling unit, using the force to ensure it went in. Skywalker let out a delighted cheer while Qui-Gon said, Fimor, in a disapproving voice. The thing, Fimor informed his former master, about being a master myself, is I no longer have to listen to you and your inappropriate use of the force lectures. Obi-Wan ducked his head down, his shoulders shaking with silent laughter.
Wait, was that bad?
Skywalker asked, looking between them with a furrowed brow. Qui-Gon sighed and shook his head, sliding gracefully into one of the chairs across from them.
The Force is an extremely powerful source of energy, capable of a great many wonderful and terrible things. We must respect it, which means not using it to do things we are perfectly capable of doing without it. He finished a bit too pointedly.
Fimor raised an eyebrow at him.
And who was it who kept using the Force to turn the lights on and off in the cabin last night?
Qui-Gon straightened, expression going a bit self-important.
As you have pointed out, the perks of being a master.
Fimor chuckled and shook his head fondly.
It was hardly the first time he called out his former master for using the Force for minor things, though he'd still been a knight the last time they'd had this debate.
As you say, master.
Qui-Gon raised an eyebrow, then made a bit of a show of crumpling his own wrapper and tossing it over his shoulder, using the Force to direct it into the recycler. Skywalker laughed, clearly delighted, while Obi-Wan let out a huff and shook his head. "If you're done being inappropriate, master," he said in a dry tone, "perhaps we should relocate to the throne room."
"Of course," Qui-Gon agreed. "Fimor, if you could go ahead with Annie, I need to speak with Obi-Wan for a moment."
Obi-Wan stiffened, and Fimor gave his shoulders another squeeze before finally withdrawing.
"Of course," he agreed as he stood. "Come along, Anakin. We can decide on the best vantage point for you."
Skywalker slid off the bench and hurried around to join him at the doorway, and they left together, the boy chewing his bottom lip.
"Obi-Wan isn't in trouble, is he?"
he asked once they were out of hearing range of the galley.
"No."
Fimor reached down and ruffled the boy's hair gently and received a grin in return.
"I'm not the only one Qui-Gon owes an apology to."
Skywalker frowned at that.
"Because of what happened with the council?"
he guessed.
"Yes."
The boy scratched the back of his neck.
"I don't really get it," he admitted. "Mr. Qui-Gon, to me, it sounds like he thought Obi-Wan was ready to face his trials?"
"The trials of knighthood," Fimor explained. "They're a series of 5 trials or tests that all Jedi Padawans must surpass to be considered Jedi Knights."
"Oh, are they hard?"
"They were some of the most difficult things I have ever had to do," Fimor admitted honestly.
Skywalker shrank in on himself a bit. Fimor sighed and stopped, kneeling down next to the boy and gently catching his shoulders, turning him so they were facing.
"The trials aren't meant to be something simple, Anakin. Being a Jedi Knight is a dangerous and often lonely life, and the Council needs to know that Knights can keep themselves and any others with them safe. If a Knight cannot wield a lightsaber in combat or runs when faced with danger, would you want to send them out on a mission where they might need to protect a group of children?"
"No,"
Skywalker admitted, looking miserable. Fimor nodded.
"The trials are difficult because the galaxy is a dangerous place, and the Council doesn't want to send anyone to their death if they can help it."
"Oh."
Fimor sighed and gently squeezed Skywalker's small shoulders.
"I don't know exactly how everything happened in the Council Chamber," he admitted. "And it is nice that Qui-Gon believes Obi-Wan is ready to take the trials. It's something I agree with him about."
"Really?" Skywalker asked, clearly curious. "But you've only just met, I thought."
Fimor smiled and shrugged. "We did, yes, but I knew about him before now, and I've observed enough of him to know he's ready."
Skywalker nodded his understanding.
"Okay. So the trials are really hard, but thinking someone is ready for them isn't a bad thing."
"Exactly," Fimor agreed. "It wasn't anything related to the trials that Qui-Gon did, at least not directly. Obi-Wan told me Qui-Gon only said he was ready for his trials so he could train you."
Skywalker gave a slow, uncertain nod.
"The Council wouldn't accept me otherwise," he said, and the words sounded bitter.
Fimor sighed. He was getting a better idea of why Qui-Gon had misstepped so badly this time.
"Unfortunately, Qui-Gon doesn't always think when he's butting heads with the Council."
"I thought you said I should be trained," Skywalker said, hunching in on himself a bit.
"Oh, Anakin, I do," Fimor promised, tugging the boy into a hug.
He was a little surprised when Skywalker clung to him in return. Clearly the boy was in desperate need of physical contact.
"You're going to make an amazing knight," he murmured against the boy's hair. "But you're older than any other prospective initiate we've seen since the Sith Wars. And that makes the Council nervous. Because they don't know how best to train you and they don't want to criff it up. For your sake."
"That's not what it sounded like to me,"
Skywalker whispered against his shoulder, sounding a little like he was trying not to cry.
Fimor grimaced. "Well, you remember what Padme said last night? She thought Jedi Masters were calm and collected all the time because that's how we try to portray ourselves, especially when we're nervous or scared."
"Yoda said Jedi aren't supposed to get scared,"
Skywalker muttered.
"Yoda is a 900-year-old troll who needs to stop telling other people how to live their lives,"
Fimor returned dryly. Skywalker let out a startled giggle. Jedi are allowed to get scared, and we do. It's what you do with that fear that really matters.
I don't understand.
Fimor sighed, wondering how best to explain a concept that he'd understood since he'd been a youngling. Fimor? Qui-Gon called as he and Obi-Wan approached, concern bleeding into the Force. We're getting sidetracked by the Order's basic philosophy, Fimor explained a bit helplessly. Ah, Qui-Gon folded his hands together, sleeves overlapping to hide them. Which part are we caught on? Fimor huffed a slightly helpless laugh at the familiar teaching voice his former master had slipped into. How to handle fear. Qui-Gon glanced over at Obi-Wan, who looked startled for a moment before saying,
By releasing it into the Force?
Qui-Gon's mustache twitched with a suppressed smile.
Generally, yes. But what must you do with that fear before you can release it?
Obi-Wan blinked and tilted his head to one side, one hand reaching up and tugging on his braid. In Fimor's arms, Skywalker had twisted so he could watch the byplay, expression interested, though he hadn't let go of Fimor's borrowed tunic.
Master it, Obi-Wan decided.
And then upon spotting Skywalker's confused frown, said,
Your padre, sir, correct?
The boy nodded, face breaking out in a grin.
The best, he agreed. Ah, pride.
Fimor suspected that had been something Skywalker had struggled with, even as a knight.
Podracing is dangerous, Obi-Wan continued. And I'm sure there have been times you've been afraid while doing it.
Yeah, a few times. Like during the Boon to Eve, one of my engines started choking, but I got it fixed, he grinned again.
Because you mastered your fear, Obi-Wan replied, inclining his head. You were afraid, yes, but you didn't let it stop you from doing what needed to be done to fix your engine. Once you mastered your fear, you let it go rather than dwelling on it, right?
Oh,
Skywalker said, his eyes gone wide.
If you'd frozen because of your fear, or turned it on others by attacking them or lingered on it, let it fester after the race was over. That would have been wrong, Fimor offered. That's not the Jedi way. That, Qui-Gon agreed grimly, is the path to the dark side.
Skywalker nodded, looking thoughtful as he turned back to Fimor.
So the Council, they were afraid?
Ah, this is about what happened in the Council Chamber, Qui-Gon realized.
Fimor sighed and nodded.
Yes, I'd ask you to clarify, but I don't trust you to see things from the Council's view.
Qui-Gon's offended huff was mostly for show.
At least Fimor was pretty sure it was.
I think, Obi-Wan offered hesitantly, that the Council's... I don't know that I would call it fear. More concern. But, well, you're older than any other initiate, and you come from a hard life. Very different from growing up in the temple. That's...
It's a complication, Fimor offered, when it became clear that Obi-Wan was struggling a bit. And no one likes complications. Especially when you have to keep in mind the safety and well-being of 1,000 other sentients. Every one of whom has access to a form of energy capable of doing both wonderful and terrible things.
Obi-Wan nodded his thanks.
Thought, yes. And Master Yoda, he's seeing darkness in the future, in your future. And that makes him nervous.
Skywalker slumped.
Oh.
It's not just your future that's dark, Anakin, Fimor said, hating a little the way his voice shook. The Sith are coming out of hiding for the first time in a millennium, and they'll seek to destroy everything we hold dear. Joy, love, freedom, the entirety of the Jedi Order, even, because the Sith...
He swallowed and shook his head, unable to look at any of the others.
They want power to be better than anyone else, and the quickest way to do that is to destroy anyone who might threaten you, to leave broken and beaten down whoever they cannot turn to their own purposes or kill.
Fimor, Qui-Gon breathed, his Force presence lunging forward and wrapping warmth and comfort around him. Fimor closed his eyes and made himself take a breath, let his former master's presence ease the lingering fear and grief, and put on a smile for Skywalker, who responded by leaning back in and giving him a far more physical hug.
We'll talk to the Council, Anakin, he promised quietly, before casting Qui-Gon a hard stare and adding, Talk to them, Master. Not give them an ultimatum.
I will never understand how you can be lauded as one of the Order's best diplomats, yet be incapable of getting through a single meeting with the Council without needing someone to mediate. Qui-Gon had the grace to wince, and then he turned an unimpressed look on Obi-Wan when he attempted to muffle a rather unconvincing cough in his fist. Fëanor shook his head at the pair of them and turned back to where Skywalker was looking between them with wide eyes. He ruffled the boy's hair, recapturing his attention, and promised, "Let's get through this mission and see the Naboo freed, and then we'll focus on having you admitted to the initiate program."
"Not a Padawan?" Skywalker asked, looking a bit disheartened.
"I think," Fëanor replied as diplomatically as he could, "that you would be best served by mingling with others your age for a couple years, rather than immediately being sequestered in a Padawan master quarters. That way you can make friends and ignore your coursework and stay up late planning pranks to pull on unsuspecting masters without an adult running herd on you all hours of the day." Skywalker had relaxed and broken out into a grin by the time Fëanor was done talking, clearly especially cheered at the thought of planning pranks with other initiates. He suspected certain council members would be regretting refusing the boy admittance sooner rather than later, and he agreed.
"That sounds way wizard."
"And how much of a menace were you as an initiate, Master Fëanor?" Qui-Gon asked dryly, as if he hadn't heard plenty of stories about the trouble Kay had dragged him into over the years before the prankster had learned the art of subtlety. Sort of. "I'm sure I have no idea what you're talking about, Master Jin," Fëanor replied in a formal tone. Skywalker giggled. Qui-Gon shook his head, clearly amused. "Did you have any other questions, Annie?" Skywalker glanced between Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, then shook his head.
"I'm good," he decided,
which Fëanor took to mean he wasn't completely comfortable returning to his original line of questioning with the other two Jedi there.
"Lightsabers?"
"Lightsabers," Qui-Gon agreed, and stepped forward to offer Fëanor a hand up, once Skywalker had finally let him go to race down the hall to the throne room. "I'm fairly certain, former Padawan of mine, that the Council will disapprove of you teaching the boy Jedi philosophy." "I'm equally certain, former master of mine, that they're going to be far more upset at me tagging along on your mission, given that I'm supposed to be in the halls," Fëanor returned dryly. "If this is a sign," Obi-Wan said in a bland tone that was bellied by the amusement threading through the force around him, "that I'll spend the rest of my life being a headache for the Council, perhaps I would have been better off in the Agra Corps." Fëanor chuckled and clapped the younger Jedi on the shoulder. "Don't worry, little brother. I'm sure you're more likely to end up on the Council." Qui-Gon closed his eyes, looking pained. "Please stop."
"I am not Council material. At all,"
Obi-Wan insisted, shaking his head and waving his hands as though to ward off the possibility. "The Council is for the wisest and most accomplished masters, not... I mean..." He hurried to correct when both Qui-Gon and Fëanor turned frowns on him. I'm sure there are hundreds of masters who are proper Council material, much more, deserving of a seat than me." "Obi-Wan," Qui-Gon said in a gentle voice, "counselors aren't giving seats for being the wisest or most accomplished Jedi in the Order. They're given seats because they bring a perspective that's sorely needed to matters involving the Order. You're a clever and observant young man, and I know you'll only grow more so in the future. The Council would be lucky to count you among their number." Obi-Wan flushed and ducked his head, shoulders hunching inward.
"As you say, Master," he mumbled.
Qui-Gon sent Fëanor a pained look, one that very clearly said, "This is my fault, and I don't know how to fix it." Fëanor huffed. "Well, one of the two of us should end up on the Council now, just so we can turn Qui-Gon's nightmares into reality." "Fëanor," Qui-Gon growled, unimpressed. But Obi-Wan let out a quiet, choked-off giggle and peeked up to flash Fëanor a small smile. "We could suggest it as a way to return on all the headaches Master has caused the Council." "Master Windu would probably jump at the chance," Fëanor agreed. "Throne room, both of you, now," Qui-Gon ordered, giving them not-so-gentle shoves in the proper direction. Obi-Wan tried very hard to hide his grin, but Fëanor didn't bother trying to be surreptitious with his chuckling, and he got a force push from his former master in retaliation. Skywalker wasn't the only one waiting for them with the intention of watching their practice. Two of the handmaidens, Padme and the young woman Femor was certain answered to Rabe, and Captain Panaka were waiting just inside the throne room, Skywalker standing close to Padme and telling her and the other handmaiden about how using the Force to bin your food wrappers was inappropriate.
"Try not to share all our secrets," Qui-Gon requested dryly as he entered the room. Skywalker flushed and ducked his head.
"Sorry, Mr. Qui-Gon."
"It's all right," Qui-Gon promised, then set about ensuring their audience would remain safely out of the way while Obi-Wan and Femor started stretching. "Mind your jumps," Femor warned, eyeing the height of the ceiling.
Obi-Wan sniffed. "It's for the best the time the one focusing on Otaru. You and Qui-Gon would crack your heads as soon as your feet left the ground."
Femor raised an eyebrow.
"Really?"
Obi-Wan shrugged, the sparkle in his eyes belying the nonchalant air he was exuding. As much as Femor should have liked to make him eat those words, it was hardly the first time he'd fought using Otaru in a room with a low ceiling, and this one wasn't even that low. He knew he needed to focus on using Ceresu instead. He'd have to make his brother Padawan eat his words some other time. The first 20 minutes or so were an absolute speeder wreck. For all Femor had the memories of 3 years of using Ceresu on the field, he lacked the muscle memory, and Qui-Gon was clearly struggling with using an unfamiliar form himself. Obi-Wan, for his part, seemed to be struggling as much with matching Qui-Gon's change in form as he was incorporating a third fighter into the pair's teamwork.
"Stop," Qui-Gon finally ordered, and they all flicked off their lightsabers and straightened, taking the chance to breathe.
Femor shook his head. "Maybe you should just stick with Otaru, Master. I think we're trying to change too much of your familiar dynamic all at once."
"I'll get it," Obi-Wan insisted, expression twisted with self-flagellation.
Qui-Gon sighed and reached over to squeeze Obi-Wan's shoulder.
"It's not just you, Padawan."
He withdrew his hand to stroke over his beard a couple of times, then said,
"Right, all of us. Makashi's first kata."
Then he snapped his lightsaber back on and settled into the correct position. Femor sighed and followed suit, with Obi-Wan a slightly uncertain half-step behind him.
"You've run Makashi before, right?" he had to ask.
"As an initiate," Obi-Wan agreed, grimacing.
Femor shook his head. He didn't doubt their master's distaste from the form had kept Obi-Wan from practicing it after he'd been accepted as Qui-Gon's Padawan. Qui-Gon ran them all through Makashi's kata sets 3 times, and by the time he let them all relax, Femor felt like his movements were a lot smoother, less hesitant, and Obi-Wan looked more relaxed and sure of himself than he had done at the start.
"Water?" Padme offered, motioning to where Rabe and the last handmaiden were stopped in the doorway holding glasses of water.
"Much obliged," Femor replied with a grateful smile, and the three of them accepted and drained the glasses. Once the two handmaidens had accepted the empty glasses and turned to leave, Obi-Wan turned to Qui-Gon and guessed.
"Ceresu?"
"Ceresu," Qui-Gon agreed.
Obi-Wan sighed but shifted into Ceresu's starting stance with far more familiarity than he had done with Makashi's. 3 repetitions of Ceresu's kata series later left Femor feeling far more secure in the form. There was no way he'd be as good as he'd been after 3 years of using it, but at least he wouldn't be constantly catching himself slipping into an Otaru move. Qui-Gon had them run through Otaru 2 times after Ceresu, and by the time they finished, the 2 handmaidens had returned with water for them, and Skywalker had apparently gotten bored because he'd vanished. "He's talking with R2-D2, the handmaiden whose name Femor didn't know said, when Qui-Gon inquired after the boy's whereabouts. "I'm fairly certain I heard him say he was going to build his own lightsaber."
Qui-Gon sighed. "Of course he is." "I'm sure the design will prove most unique," Femor offered diplomatically.
"At least he's missing a key component," Obi-Wan muttered.
"There is that," Qui-Gon agreed. "Thank you, ladies," he added as they returned the empty glasses to the handmaidens again.
"Of course, Master Jedi," Rabe replied, then left again with her partner.
The 3 Jedi returned to the center of the room.
"Let's try this again," Qui-Gon said,
and they all activated their lightsabers and set about trying to work together. It went much, much smoother that time, all of them a little better about accommodating the others, and Femor and Qui-Gon both more familiar with their chosen forms. When they finally called an end to the practice, bowing to each other as they slipped their sabers away, and Femor really needed to sort out his belt issue,
They were all three tired and sweaty, and Fëanor, at least, was debating the merits of catching a nap. Given his insomnia, probably not a good choice, not if he wanted any chance of sleeping before they reached Naboo. Qui-Gon excused himself to go find Skywalker and check on the status of his lightsaber, which left Fëanor and Obi-Wan with Padme, Captain Pinaka having left ahead of the Elder Jedi. "Master Fëanor," Padme called before he and Obi-Wan could quit the room, and they both turned to look at her. "I couldn't help but notice you seemed to be lacking a belt." "Ah," Fëanor folded his hands together inside his sleeves, grateful for the extra length that would disguise any fidgeting. "My joining the mission was rather last minute, and I'm afraid I wasn't as prepared as I should have liked to have been." Padme's mouth twisted with a wry smile. "Yes, I can understand that. If the cruiser hadn't already been stocked with a full wardrobe, Her Majesty would have ran out of clothing to wear before we even reached Tatooine." Fëanor let slip a quiet chuckle. "In this, the Jedi may have it simpler. It's not uncommon for us to wear the same outfit for days on end." "There's certainly less preparation involved, but I'm afraid it's not the Naboo way to wear the same thing day in and day out. While I can appreciate the aesthetical value of different clothing for different days or events, I'm afraid I'm far too attached to our more simplistic dress. It's easier to fight in, for one." Padme grinned outright at that. "We do have clothing for fighting in, but I understand your point. The invasion would have gone much differently if Naboo were more inclined to war." Fëanor shook his head. "An inclination to peace is hardly something to be ashamed of," he insisted. "Naboo is a world that has no need for weapons, and your culture reflects that. Sentients need the arts and clean spaces of nature untarnished just as much as they need to feel safe and cared for. And it is the greatest tragedy that the Trade Federation's greed has endangered all of those things." Padme tilted her head, considering him with intelligent brown eyes. "Yes," she said quietly before shaking her head. "As to your belt, I believe there's something that will suit in the security lockers if you wanted to try them." Fëanor gave a short bow. "If there is a belt I might borrow, I would be most grateful for it." She smiled and turned towards the door. "I'll show you where they are." Fëanor inclined his head, but paused in following her to focus on Obi-Wan. "If you want to use the sonic or steal a sofa for a nap, you're more than welcome to," he offered. Obi-Wan blinked a little too slowly to be natural, then frowned. "You're not going to need it? The sofa?" He shook his head. "No, I'm afraid Sleep and I have a contentious relationship at the best of times. Better I meditate for an hour than try to nap." He unfolded his hands so he could reach out and squeeze Obi-Wan's shoulder, smiling a bit when the Padawan relaxed into the contact. "Go get some sleep, little brother. You look like you need it." Obi-Wan huffed, but agreed. "A nap does sound like a good idea." Fëanor squeezed his shoulder again, then shifted his grip to tug the Padawan out of the throne room, sending him off with a gentle push towards the lift to the lower level of the ship. Padme had waited politely for him to finish talking to Obi-Wan and join her. As the Padawan made his way down the hall ahead of them, she commented, "I thought the Jedi didn't approve of familial attachments." Fëanor folded his hands together inside his sleeves again and shrugged. "Given the age of most initiates when they're brought to the temple, we rarely retain any memories of our birth families," he explained. "In lieu of blood relations, Jedi become as family to each other. Not unlike, I expect, how you and the other handmaidens are as close as sisters." Padme nodded her understanding. "Over the course of our apprenticeship, our masters tend to become as parents to us, or elder siblings, depending on the age difference. As he is currently Obi-Wan's master, Qui-Gon was mine. In casual temple terminology, that makes us akin to siblings." "So you call him brother," Padme said, nodding. "And that explains a bit why you didn't have any problems taking orders from Master Jyn, despite you both having the same rank?" Fëanor shrugged. "He's been a master longer than I have, and this is his mission. So I would have deferred to him anyway, but yes, it does feel more natural to follow his direction than it would from any other master." Padme flashed him a quick, slightly apologetic smile. "I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't be asking so many questions." Fëanor shook his head. "It's fine. I know we Jedi like to keep an air of mystery around ourselves. There's a certain amount of pleasure one derives from always leaving others guessing, but..." He remembered the way the propaganda had started shifting as the war drew on, questioning the Jedi, their way of life, their loyalty to the Republic and her citizens, whether they would be willing to give up the power they'd been granted with an army at their beck and call. He remembered, too, the empty spaces in the creche, The stories of parents refusing to give up their young to the Jedi because of the war, or the Jedi's secrecy. He remembered a mother spitting in his face when he told her that her daughter had the potential to be a Jedi. Her words, "My daughter will be raised by a mother who loves her, not you heartless droids," cutting him far deeper than he would have expected, ripping away the scabs that had formed over the empty spaces where Qui-Gon and his Padawans and Grand Padawan should have been. "Perhaps," he murmured, "it's time we let some of that mystery go." Padme's only response was a noncommittal hum, and then she was palming open the door to a small cabin that looked nearly identical to the one he and Qui-Gon had shared the night before, save a tall locker bolted into the wall just inside the door. The young woman tugged it open, revealing what looked to be two uniforms similar to the one Captain Panaka wore. Two belts were rolled up on a shelf, black instead of the far more familiar dark brown, and lacking the wide outer utility belt that gave it a little more durability, while also allowing for a thinner buckle so it didn't dig into their stomach during some of the more acrobatic moves. But it would certainly serve him better than going without. "Thank you for this," he said as he picked up one of the belts. "I'm happy to help," Padme insisted with a smile. Fëanor slipped the belt around his waist and fastened it, then pulled his lightsaber out of the fold of his outer tunic, where he'd been storing it, and attached it to the belt. The clip felt a little loose, designed for the slightly thicker order belts, but it wasn't so much so that it would slide around and be a hazard when he moved. "This is perfect," he promised. "Pass on my gratitude to Captain Panaka for me?"
"I'll make sure he knows," she agreed.
Fëanor offered her a bow, then left to find somewhere quiet he could meditate away the memories of that lonely future that he was trying so very hard to change. End Chapter 2.